This morning's Old Testament reading is 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 18 through 20, and then verse 26. Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a boy wearing a linen ephod. His mother used to make for him a little robe and take it to him each year when she went up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Then Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, "May the Lord repay you with children by this woman for the gift that she made to the Lord." And then they would return to their home. Now the boy Samuel continued to grow both in stature and in favor with the Lord and with the people. Reading this morning is Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 through 17. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the God, the Father, through Him. This morning's gospel reading is from the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 41 through 52. Now every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in years, and in divine human favor.
This is the word of God for we the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, thank you that you are the light that shines in the darkness, that you are the word that became flesh and dwelt among us. May your word become flesh in our hearts and our lives today through the scripture and the message you've given me to preach today. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So one of my favorite movies Christmas time is Home Alone. And I think Dawson got it for Christmas, he was telling me earlier. I've never really had a Home Alone moment, but I had a similar moment like Jesus where I found myself in a public place and my family was nowhere to be seen. I used to come up to Aledo where my grandparents lived. And one day, my parents were gone. I was hanging out at my grandparents' house. And all the cousins, most of us at least, we piled into the back of this old Dodge Caravan. And we drove from Aledo on an adventure to Muscatine. And I had never been to Muscatine, Iowa. And our destination that day was the Muscatine Mall and Walmart. And in the Dodge Caravan, I was one of the smaller cousins. And so there were so many of us packed into this van that I was in the cargo area. So I didn't even have a seatbelt. That's what it was like. We were packed in like sardines. And I was 7 years old. And we were wandering around Walmart. And there was my aunt, my grandmother, my two older male cousins, myself, my two younger cousins, and I think I think the babies were at home with mom and dad. So we were in this. We got it. We're at Walmart and we're shopping around, and I'm following around my older cousins who are teenagers at this time. And the first corner they take towards the sporting section, they turn and I went the other way, and they totally lost me. And so here I am wandering around Walmart, looking at all the toys and all the sights and different things. And for a 7-year-old, and especially for one who was a little attention deficit, it was a lot to see. And I'd never been to that Walmart, and I'd never been to Muscatine. And, well, they all left, and I was still at Walmart. And they got all the way back to Aledo and then realized that I was still at Walmart in Muscatine. So I'm at Walmart, and I'm wandering around, and I thought, well, if I go to the front desk and they do the loudspeaker and they ask for my grandparent or my grandmother or my aunt, I am in so much trouble. So I know I will page my cousins by first name and maybe they'll get it. And so I'm wandering around looking for an adult. And the first adult I could find was at the ladies' dressing room. So I go over to the ladies' dressing room and I page my cousins. Well, Robbie and Jimmy, come to the dressing room right now. Your cousin is waiting for you. Robbie and Jimmy, come to the dressing room. Nothing. Maybe, it might have been minutes. It probably seemed like an hour. They come back and they find me. I'm with the staff. And they're basically saying, we've been looking all over for you. Don't ever do this to us again. Wait till you get home. So we pile back into the van. I take my seat in the cargo next to the goods that were purchased. And I'm not allowed to say a word. And we stop to eat and enjoy at a diner. And my aunt forgets her purse there. We get all the way back to Aledo. Where's my purse? And I'm like raising my hand like, we told you not to talk. But Susan, you left your purse at the diner. Well, why didn't you tell us? So that was my experience of being left behind. But that's that same kind of exasperation that Mary and Joseph experienced. They took at least a 3 days journey on foot to Jerusalem from Nazareth. And they went with all their friends and their family to go fulfill the law of the Lord and go to the temple on a pilgrimage that was required. And we learn a lot about them in this text, previously from where they were before. See, this is when Jesus was 12, but I want to go back. Go back in your Bibles. Turn in your pew Bibles to page 781, chapter 2, and go to verse 19. This is right after Jesus had been born, and the angels announced to the shepherds, and the shepherds come and see Jesus lying in the manger in the stable. It says, verse 19, Mary committed these things to memory and considered them carefully. Jump down to verse 21. So after 8 days, Jesus' parents circumcised him, and they gave him the name Jesus, which means God saves. This was the name given to him by the angel before he was conceived. And so then comes the time for a ritual cleansing, and in accordance with the law from Moses. And this is a theme in Luke's gospel. Luke's gospel is a testimony, an account of the fulfillment of God's promises, of the prophecies, of God's law, of God's promise to save his people and bring redemption and restoration. So Jesus is there, and they bring him forward to be circumcised. They bring him to Jerusalem and present him to the Lord. In verse 24, I wanted you to see this. They offered a sacrifice in keeping with what's stated in the law of the Lord. And here comes a detail that tells us more about what Jesus' life was really like. A pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons was their offering. That was the lowest offering you could give. If you gave that, you were the poorest of the poor. So Jesus grew up poor. Verse 25, we meet a man named Simeon who was in Jerusalem, and he was righteous and devout. And in Advent, we have been anticipating the coming of Christ and his return. And here was a man who was eagerly anticipating the restoration of Israel. And the Holy Spirit rested on him. When we anticipate God's promises, God gives us His Holy Spirit to sustain us. The Holy Spirit revealed to him that he wouldn't die before he'd even seen the Lord's Christ. Led by the Spirit, he went into the temple area. And meanwhile, Jesus' parents brought the child to the temple. So Jesus probably went to the temple quite a bit. His parents were very devout, poor as they were, so that they could do what was customary under the law. And here this old man, Simeon, who's been waiting for the restoration of Israel and has the Holy Spirit, this old man takes Jesus in his arms and prays God, and he says, "Now, Master, let your servant go in peace according to your word." Why? Because my eyes have seen your salvation. This is an eight-day-old boy. And this is his salvation. And says, "You prepared this salvation in the presence of all peoples." Of all peoples. He wanted the restoration of Israel. But the Spirit was giving him prophetic utterance that this was for all peoples, not just Israel. This is for everyone. For the other people. For people like us, the Gentiles. He says, "It is a light for revelation to the Gentiles. That is everyone besides the Jews. And a glory for your people Israel." And here we learn more about Mary and Joseph. His father and mother were amazed by what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This boy is a sign to be the cause of the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that generates opposition, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed." See, Christ is that light that shines in the darkness in our hearts, in the unknown, in the things that we feel but we don't have words for, into our past, into our present situations that can be confusing or muddling. And he turns to Mary and says, "And a sword will pierce your innermost being," or in your heart. Now that could have been a prophecy about Jesus' crucifixion. Or maybe it could have been that Mary loved her son and never wanted him to leave home. But here, even later on at 12 years old, he would be away from his mother and he would be totally fine because God was taking care of him. So then it says, then there's Anna, a woman. And here, Simeon was a righteous and devout man, but here is this prophet who's a woman, and this was rare. And Luke makes a point about people at the margins. He draws attention to women in particular. It's in Luke's gospel that women are the first ones to see the risen Christ later on after the resurrection. Women are important in the kingdom of God, according to Luke. And this is groundbreaking. So there was a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, who belonged to the tribe of Asher, and she was very old. After she married, she lived with her husband for 7 years. And it says she'd been a widow for 84 years. She never left the temple area, but worshipped God with fasting and prayer night and day. And she approached at that very moment, because here's another fulfillment in Jesus. The right person for the right time for the right task. And she began to praise God and to speak about Jesus to everyone, Jews and Gentiles, who were looking forward to the redemption, not just of Israel, but of the city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, the city of controversy. Jerusalem, the city that had people from all nations gathered there. And it says, when Mary and Joseph had completed everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to their hometown, Nazareth. And here we learn more about Jesus. The child grew up and became strong. He didn't know everything when he was born. He was a baby. He was taught. He was taught the law of the Lord. See, God emptied himself of all of his divine power to become this baby born in the flesh for us. And was completely dependent on the Holy Spirit and God's word in the scriptures to teach him everything he knew. And he learned it from his parents and from his community. That might tell us something about our role and how we raise up disciples from birth to the grave here in the church. That everyone has a role to play. Everyone can be a spiritual parent in the church. He was filled with wisdom, and God's favor was on him. And here we are. Each year his parents went to Jerusalem for the Passover. And so now Jesus is 12 and they go up to Jerusalem. But after the festival was over, they were returning home. But Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents didn't know it. And supposing he was among their caravan of travelers, if you will, they journeyed on a full day while looking for him from among their family and friends. So they've probably gone 10 to 20 miles and they realize he's not there. And they have to go back. Everyone, the whole caravan has to go back because they travel in that caravan for safety from bandits and robbers. And when they didn't find Jesus, they returned to Jerusalem to look for him. So after 3 days, that's a lot of walking and searching, they found him in the temple. He was sitting among the teachers, and these teachers represented the Torah, the first 5 books of the Bible, the law that God had given to Moses, the covenant. And he was listening to them and putting questions to them. See, a good student in the temple or in the synagogues, they learn to ask good questions. They weren't just asking for answers. Today it seems like we ask for answers for everything. We want everything solved. Everything's a problem to be fixed. But here Jesus was asking questions. And we as disciples can learn how we can grow in our faith by asking questions. And I hope that our church will be a place that we can ask questions without fear of being rebuked or reprisal. There's no such thing as a dumb question unless you don't ask it. Right? So he's asking questions to them. And everyone who heard him was amazed by his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were shocked. But it gets real here because Mary says, "Child, why have you treated us this way? Listen, your father and I have been worried." Another translation says, "We've been searching for you with great anxiety. We've been looking for you." And as I prepared for Sunday, that was the phrase that jumped out at me. We've been looking for you. We've been searching for you, Jesus, with great anxiety. We've been trying to find you on our own and we can't. And then Jesus says to his parents, "Why were you looking for me? Why were you looking for me? Didn't you know that it was necessary for me to be in my Father's house?" Or some translations say, to be about my Father's will or about my Father's business. We've been looking for you. Why were you looking for me? And that's the question I want to pose to us today. Let's take some time in our hearts and think about, Lord, we've been looking for you. And Jesus is asking you today, why were you looking for me? Why are you looking for Jesus? Where is salvation needed in your life? Simeon was looking forward to, he was eagerly anticipating the restoration of Israel. Anna was looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. They were seeking a specific kind of salvation. And I believe today that many of us have something that we need salvation and new life from Christ today in our lives and in our hearts. Or we're in over our head and we need Jesus to come and save us. I need Jesus to save me. I need Jesus to save me from self-deception, from trying to please people, from feeling like I even let God down. I need Jesus to save me, to help me remember God's love and his promises, that even when I can't see them or I can't even remember them, that they're still true and they're still there and they are already fulfilled because Christ came to save me and Christ came to save us and to save this world. All of us, not just the Jews. We have been looking for you. Why were you looking for me? But it says they didn't understand what he said to them. And sometimes we might hear from the Lord. We might get something from Scripture. It might resonate, but we don't understand. God might answer a prayer, but we don't understand. People might be kind to us or show love to us, and we might not understand. And Jesus' parents didn't understand what he said to them. But instead of telling them or explaining, giving them an answer, it says Jesus went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. That's the kind of Savior, that's the kind of Lord and King of Kings we have. Jesus went down. He humbled himself and went down to Nazareth. He put his head down, he followed his parents, went on the long trip back home, and didn't say another word. He was with them and was obedient to them. His mother cherished every word in her heart. And then it says Jesus matured, or Jesus grew, or was perfected in wisdom and years, in favor with God and with people. See, even our Savior needed the love and support of the community in his church, in his community, in his family. That he couldn't do it all on his own. He needed to grow and mature. And if Jesus needed to grow and mature as a disciple, so do we. So, my prayer is for us today that we will be like Jesus. And we will be obedient to God's word. And we will grow in our years and in wisdom, in favor with God and with others, by seeking out God's will in the scriptures. And looking for Jesus, not just in the Gospels and the New Testament, but also in the whole Bible. And remembering God's promises and finding out what we need to be saved from. Why we need to be saved. And think about, Jesus, will you come and save me today? Will you shine your light into the darkness in our hearts? Let us pray. Lord, thank you that you came to us and that we could not find you on our own. Thank you that you are the Savior and you love us. And God, you showed your love for us by humbling yourself and being born in the flesh as through your Son for us, who was obedient to his parents. May we be obedient to you, Father. And may we, through the Holy Spirit, ask questions and ponder your word and wrestle with your word like Jesus did. Lord, please come and save us and help us to be humble like Jesus and walk with people in their shoes in our ministry in this community. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. While I was praying, I just felt the Lord was leading me to pray for all of us, and I was asking God for help. But God gave me this, kind of like a daydream, I guess. I saw our church, and I saw that we were so full of love and joy that we couldn't be contained within these walls. And every block in this town and in our communities was radiant with the love of God. And I saw us giving people food and praying with people in their homes. And I saw us walking through the streets praying for our city, for our village. And it was you who were doing it. I wasn't in the vision. It was you. You were sharing the good news of Jesus Christ in your everyday lives. And it was part of everything that you did, whether you were at work or at school. And it was so vivid. And I hope that God will give you that same vision that you envision yourselves being the hands and feet of Jesus in our community, in everything that you do. That people will not help but see that Christ has come to save them because people love them and spend time with them and grieve with them. And do it in a way, in a language, and in acts that they understand. So I just pray that God will bless you and that you will catch that vision of being the hands and feet of Jesus, just as you are in all that you do. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.